That's for people who've been visiting for some time but would like to find out more about the church and kind of want to come and find out what is going on and meet with the leaders and make some kind of connection. So if you're needing any details on that, you're welcome to meet with Corrine and the welcoming team. Haven't they just got a nice little lounge thing going over here? No, that's not for the musicians after the service or for Bill's prophetic team after the service. That's for people who are visiting the church and kind of get lost in the coffee bar area, because that's become quite a happening thing over there. People get home like 1.5 times later than the service ends. And but you get lost in this. So we're saying if you're visiting and you'd like to meet with some of the leaders in the church and we could be a little bit more hospitable to you, please come along to this area. And if you brought someone as a visitor, you join them. They get the free cappuccino and you pay. Is that okay? Okay, half price. That's my last offer, right? So just a big welcome to you if you are visiting, and we're not going to be getting you to stand up and come forward and tell us your name. We're going to just do it like this. Is that okay? You're more comfortable with that? All right. And then we're going to do something for this church family. We're going to take up the morning offering. So if the finance attendants could come forward, security could lock the building, you could check the person's wallet next to you, make sure they... Now, what we do during this time is we are partnering with the gospel that this church is called to preach. And by our giving, we are partnering and co-laboring together with it. We believe that as children of God in a better covenant, you are already blessed. Okay, I'm going to come over this side. They obviously did the School of Supernatural Ministry. Okay, because you're in covenant with God and you're in a better covenant, you are already blessed. And now because of that, we come with a generous heart to God. And we say, we want this message to be preached, to be proclaimed, to be decreed in the nations of the world, but it's going to take bucks to get it there. Gospel's free, but it's not cheap. So what we do as a family in this time, we don't take this lightly. We don't give because we're scared. We need protection money to safeguard ourselves against heaven's mafia that'll come wanting to hunt us down and beat us up if we don't give. No, we are in a better covenant. Amen. We're already blessed, and because we're blessed, we give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the offering. We thank you for the co-partnering. And as we give for your kingdom today, we pray your blessing on your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who's a mother here this morning? Raise your hand. Let me just see how many moms. Wow. Okay, maybe I should have asked who the men here this morning. I mean, who the non-moms this morning? That's a whole bunch of us. Well, I hope you feel welcome. I hope you feel loved. And I hope you get spoiled today. The restaurants are going to be packed. That's all I can say. I've been studying in Romans, and I kind of hit a point in Romans where... I got an illustration from 2 Kings chapter 4. And as I read through this passage, I thought, Lord, this could actually be a blessing not only to us as a church in our understanding of the gospel, but this could be a great word of hope, an injection of hope for mothers. But as parents, as Christians, as priests. So it's not exclusive, but certainly this is a message that I believe is going to inject hope into a lot of people who feel like their dreams have died. All right? 2 Kings chapter 4. And maybe some of you are familiar with the story. Let me just pick it up before I highlight a few passages. It's a whole chapter. So I just want to kind of give you a little bit of an overview. It's in during the time of Elisha. And Elisha used to travel throughout certain region ministering. And on certain occasions, he used to come to this area called Shunem, where we pick up the story of the Shunammite lady. She was a wealthy businesswoman. She lived in this community. And Elisha used to come past there and eat from time to time. And she said to her husband, come on, let's just prepare a room upstairs for the prophet. So when he comes through, he's got a bed, he's got a chair, he's got a table, and he can spend the night and be refreshed. So they agreed to this, and Elisha was so impressed with her hospitality that he told his servant, whose name was Gehazi, that he should find out what this family needed, and he'd like to repay them. So they had this little interview and conversation, and Gehazi comes back to Elisha and says, she hasn't had a son. She hasn't had a baby. And her husband is past being able to, he's old in age, and it's going to take a miracle for him to, you know, do what he has to do, so she can do what she has to do, so she can have a baby. So Elijah said, no problem. This time next year, I speak over you and I declare, like Peter declared this morning, fertility. So she got all excited, and I wasn't too sure at first, but if you pick up the story in verse 17 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings, it says, verse 17, but the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha told her. Verse 18, the child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. His father told the servant, carry him to his mother. And after the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so that I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. It's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to the servant, lead on, don't slow down for a minute. Don't pay toll fees, don't take shortcuts. Just hook, foot in the hook. And so she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Then he said, when he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Didn't I ask you for a son, my Lord, she said. Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck in your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet them, and anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the mother said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff in the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house where the boy was lying dead on the couch, he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed, lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hands to hands, and he stretched himself out over him. The boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room. And when got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Interesting message for today. First of all, I want to highlight a point and then read one verse out of there, and I want to say a few things. First of all, the miracle started when the mother chose to believe the word of God above her circumstances. It says, I like the King James translation of this verse in verse 23. It says, the husband said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath, And she said, it shall be well. The moment she chose to believe the word of God over her circumstances and brought her mouth into agreement with the faith that she had in her heart for that thing, even though she was in pain and distress and totally upset about the whole situation, she said, I'm going to go and get a hold of that prophet again. And on the way to him, she had two good opportunities to complain, to whine, to break down, to fall into depression, to give up. She could have, when her husband said, what has happened? She could have said, these promises of God. You know, people get up and make all these claims about what God does. But look at my situation. I don't see any difference. You know, we were told this and this, and if we did this and this, look, nothing's changed. Nothing's happened. We're told the word of God was going to bring this blessing or this healing or this breakthrough or this prosperity or whatever we believe God for, and we haven't seen it. I'm just fed up with all this churchianity stuff. I'm just fed up with all this prophetic ministry stuff. I'm just going to go out and eat worms. She says to her husband, her response to her husband is, it is well. The second time, when Gehazi crosses her path, exactly the same thing happens again. He says, what has happened? She says, it is well. It's only by the time she gets to the prophet, she falls at his feet and starts crying out. You know, church, this is such an amazing picture if we take it through the cross. Because we're not in an Old Testament covenant where we need to go and find the man of God. We don't need an intermediary. We don't need someone who stands between us and God. We are priests in the family of God. We are sons. We are kings under the King of Kings, God, who rules the governments of the whole universe. And under Him, we can hear Him and we are priests directly to Him. But we can learn something from this woman, that even though she's an inferior covenant in that she has to go and physically get the word, she's such a good example to us because of her tenacity. She wasn't going to just give up now on the word that God had spoken to her heart. She wasn't going to just turn her back and fall into self-pity and criticism and negativity. She was going to take hold of the word of God and say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I'm going to press through. And because the miracle started when her dream was dead. Maybe you've had a dream, and maybe it's not a physical death. Maybe it's a in the area of some pursuit or some venture or some endeavor in your life, and you think, but it's dead, but it's dead. I want to tell you, you are a priest. You are a son of God in a better covenant. And you can by faith take hold of the word of God that was for you. And don't let it go. Don't fall into criticism. Don't fall into despondency. Don't fall into negativity. That's what we can learn from this woman. Amen? Amen. It reminds me of when God was creating the universe. And it says, darkness covered the earth. God could have... Bible says God calls the things that are not as if they are. God could have just said, well, let's face the facts, guys, it's dark. God didn't say that. He said, let there be. In the midst of darkness, God spoke. Do you know that God does nothing unless He speaks? It's God's word that creates. God operates in that system where it's God's word. When He speaks a word, that's what happens. That's why when He said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, all Moses had to do was come into agreement with God's word. He didn't have to add to it. He didn't have to subtract from it. All he had to do was go to Pharaoh and say, let God's people go. When we speak the same words of God and we come into agreement with His words, we release God's purposes into the world. This woman thought, I'm not going to let go of this word. I had a son, and I'm not going to let go. I'm not just going to accept this. I'm not going to just let this dream die. I'm going to trust an injection of God's life right into this situation that I'm faced with right now. Reminds me of Numbers 13. When God said to Moses, I'm giving you a land. It's yours. God didn't say, you have to go fight for it. You have to go and earn it. You have to deserve it. It was a free gift. It was based on a promise, like our salvation is, like our redemption. All they had to do was occupy. But in order to do our homework, let's send some spies up to go and have a look and see what we need to do. So the Bible says Moses sent them. And when they came back, we remember the story. If you've read that story, that of the 12, how many brought a positive response? Only two. The others said, no, no, Moses, that's a terrible situation. They're much bigger than us. They were giants. There's fortified cities. They've got walls. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's no ways we can go in and take hold of it. And Joshua said, be still. We saw the land, and we can go and take it. Joshua brought himself into agreement with what God had said. When we come into agreement with God's word, we release the promises of God into our situation. It might look dead. It might look that it's on the scrap heap of abandoned dreams. But when we find God's word and we declare God's word, let my people go. We can go and take up this land. Let there be light. In the midst of it, there was no such thing as light. You know, the sun and moon hadn't even been created yet. So where did the light come from? God's word. God speaks. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Let me tell you, when we put our faith in the word of God, we receive everything that Jesus died on the cross to achieve for us. And now we live by faith, not by self-effort and self-striving. And how do we live by faith? Jesus said, if you say to that mountain, be removed into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you've said, it will be done unto you. There's some mountains in your life right now. There's some fig trees that need some cursing in your life right now. But you know what the mistake is? We get into agreement with the enemy, and we grumble and moan and complain and badmouth. Not us, I mean just people in general. Instead of bringing our words into agreement with God's word, and not going to the mountain and then whining to God about the mountain. God, it's not fair. You promised me I was going to build a highway. Now there's a big mountain. God, it's not fair. This is right. Have I heard from you? Out of the church, maybe I'll go to another church. Maybe I'll hear a word. Maybe I'll read more books. Maybe I'll go to a conference or seminar. I don't know, God. God, Jesus says, you speak to the mountain. Don't speak to me about the mountain. You speak to the mountain and say, be removed. Come on. We got a better covenant than this woman had. We stand on the promises of the finished work of the cross. Everything Jesus accomplished was for us. And when Jesus was told about Lazarus' death, he didn't have to go up. He didn't just say, come forth, because everyone would have got out the graves. He had to say, Lazarus, come forth. Because when he spoke that word, it was an agreement with his father, what his father had told him. And I'm telling you, when we find God's word and speak it, we're going to speak to the dead grave. And we're going to have to name it by name, because God wants to show His glory in that situation in your life. Amen? Amen. Come on now. This is good news. This is good news. This is the life of faith. This is how we were intended to live. Is by coming into agreement with the prophet's word. And then believing in our heart. You see, this is not just about mimicking. This is not just about, what's that formula again? I think I've got it. If I say this 7 times and this 21 times, then do my Hail Marys, then I'll get it. That's how a lot of people think. But Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. I'm not just talking about the power of confession. No, we're talking about the power of God's word. But the power of God's word is only, we only activate His grace through faith. Remember, we've learned that over the last months. Faith is a positive response to what God has said. And that's His grace. His grace is He's accomplished everything. Now faith has to access that. And it does that by believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. I mean, you can teach a parrot to say, by His stripes I am healed. By His stripes I am healed. By His stripes I am healed. There's no heart in it. Hello? I mean, Janet's taught our dog to speak. I mean, serious, true story. We've got a little minpin. And she goes, hello. And the dog goes, hello. But no, you are, come, I'll show you. I'll bring it next Sunday. Hello. hear my parrot in the house. His favorite saying is, "Rain, wake up. Rain, wake up. Roxy, outside. People, stop it." Except he sounds like me. Show me a people that are coming into agreement with God's word against death, decay, brokenness, dreams. And I'll show you people who are going to emerge triumphant. But show me people who are always complaining, grumbling, moaning, whining, sowing negativity, sowing discord, and I'll show you people who live in that reality. I'm amazed at that. You know, I bump into so many people in this church, and all I hear is, "Man, we're so loving church. We're so highways in such a good place. It's, hey, there's so much life." But you know, there's another bunch of people I also bump into. "Oh, there's big trouble in highway." I'm not kidding. I hear this other bunch. "There's a lot of unhappy people. There's a lot of unhappy people." I'm saying, please send one of them to me, because I haven't met them. Everyone I bump into is happy. Everyone I'm talking is saying, "There's breakthrough." Everyone I speak to, there's laugh. Everyone I speak to, there's joy. Everyone is, I don't know, there must be a few people that aren't happy, and I wish they'd come and speak to me, because I would tell them about the joy of Jesus and His promise and His laugh, and they will come, they will come, they will come unhappy, and they will leave happy. But if they don't come and talk to me, they can't get happy. And then they do the mature Christian thing. They stop coming to church. So I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm a simple preacher. I believe when Jesus said, "It's finished, it's finished." He said, "Now live by faith. Speak to the mountain. Believe in your heart. Whatever you say, don't doubt." Our problem's not faith. It's unbelief. We've covered that. We've taught into that a little bit. Problem's not faith. We've got a measure of faith. Problem is unbelief. So we've got to deal with unbelief by letting the word renew our minds and change the way we do things, and that we need to start speaking God's word over circumstances and not giving up and not falling victim to everyone along the way who says, "How's it? How's it? How's it? How's it?" and miss 40 good opportunities to tell them how terrible and how wrong and how bad it is. But we got to get back to the word of God that He spoke to us in the first place, that brought life, that delivered a promise to us. And that's the language of sons of God, of the priests. Amen? That's our purpose on earth, church. We are ambassadors. We represent a higher government on earth. An ambassador doesn't go to the government he's in and bring his own opinions. He comes with what his government told him. That's why God said, "Let the weak say I'm strong." That's why God said, "Let the poor say I'm rich." That's why God said, "Let there be light, and I will never leave or forsake you." When we go, we represent a higher government that's superior in every way, and all we as ambassadors, we're reinforcing what Jesus did. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're not having to depend on what our push-pull and carry. We just got to declare what the King told us to say, not to doubt in our hearts, but believe what we say. Moms this morning, and dads, but today is Mom's Day. You are ambassadors representing a superior government. And if you find out what God's word is in that situation, for example, "Great shall be your children's peace, for they shall be taught of the Lord." And you say, "God, you said it, I believe it," and that settles it. You know, this maybe sounds to some people like what the faith preachers taught 30 years ago. And maybe it does a bit. And I'm so glad it does. But I'm glad it's built on a foundation of not what I deserve, but what Jesus deserves. That it's built on a foundation of what not what my performance and goodness could have credited me with, but what the foundation of righteousness by faith credits me with. And when I stand on that righteousness as a son of God, the heavens are open, the blessings are falling, the favor is there, and God says, "I've got so much more. If you will only believe what I say and take hold of it, Moms, I want to charge you this morning. Dads as well. But those single mothers, thanks Peter for praying for them. That was a sweet moment. Those moms, I want to tell you, you are an ambassador representing a superior government in your house. You are not second rate in any way. You're the highest authority in that situation. And when you come into agreement with the words of God, they will create a new future for your children. Many of us going through challenges right now. Lots of challenges. You know, ranging from PK syndrome to just downright obnoxious delinquency, diabolical behavior. Should I rephrase that? I can't, I forgot. We are. But now we're going to either choose to come into agreement with what the devil's blueprint is and speak his words and negativity and criticism, or else we're going to come into agreement with what God's word says and speak his life. Where there's death, come forth. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's emptiness, fulfillment. We've got to start with our mouth proclaiming what we believe in our heart. Businessman, it might be over your business right now and you think it's dead. I'm telling you, if you've heard from God, you keep speaking God's word over it, those creative ideas are still flowing. They're going to come. But if you sidetracked with all this negativity, God can't speak a new strategy and how to work into the situation. And we bemoan the word. It wasn't the word that we need to bemoan as not being true or right or did I hear from God. But it's going to be my faith is not going to waver on this. I'm going to take hold of the feet of Jesus. I'm going to say, Lord, you said, I believe. Lord, I'm not letting go. I'm not going to let you go until I see my breakthrough. I'm not going to just let someone else go and put a staff in his head. I'm looking to the one who stretches out his arms, who puts his hands on hands, who puts his eyes on eyes, who puts his body on body. Jesus, who was spread out on a cross. His hands were broken for our hands that had caused so much trouble. His face was torn to pieces for our face that had caused so much pain. His feet were broken because of the things that we walked into. And I'm telling you what, when his body was hanging on that cross and he cried out, Father, forgive them. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said it is finished, it was finished. And God credits you and me with what he did and what he accomplished. And we don't have to sneeze 7 times, but we're getting life back in our bodies. Amen. An injection of life back into death. Maybe that's what I should have called the sermon. Injecting life back. Dow, will you give me your notes before I preach? So I can get a decent title. I mean, my titles suck usually. I want to finish with this because I want to let you go a little bit earlier because I know you're going to race off to the restaurant this morning. God only says good things about his children. A guy by the name of Bertie Britz, I don't know if any of you have heard any of his ministry. I think we'd like to have him sometime in this church. But he made that comment, and it just stuck with me. God only says good things about his children. Isn't he the greatest parent? Isn't he the best role model? You know, for some people still, yeah, God is saying good things, but he's just got this little bit of a you've got to take that out of your consciousness. God is only saying good things. And you know what God says comes to pass. But we need to come into agreement with what he said. So when God says that you are my righteousness, if we come into agreement with what he said, we only receive good things in our lives. Because everything else comes out of that foundation of right standing. That's what righteousness is, with God himself. When we come into agreement that he says, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the sick say by his stripes I'm healed. I might feel lonely, but he said he will never leave or forsake me. The moment we come into agreement with the good things our Father, our parent, God Almighty says about us, the moment we come into agreement with those things, we experience the fact that God is only saying good things about you. I tell you, if you're reading in the Bible and you read something that brings condemnation, I want you to close your Bible and say, God, please deliver me from a spirit of of religion and witchcraft, and let me see truth in your word and read it again. Because God is only saying good things about you. He's not condemning you. He's not, you're not, like we saw last week in the communion. But isn't that just wonderful to know? God is saying good things. Come into agreement with what He is saying. You are the best parent your children need right now. Don't let the devil tell you anything otherwise. This time, a year and a half ago, my daughter broke the news to us that she was pregnant. She was just finishing matric. Poor Janet locked herself in the room for 2 days. It was a terrible shock. We thought our daughter's life had come to an end. We thought maybe our lives had come to an end. I was just thinking of a bridge high enough somewhere. And this morning, I had to dress my grandson for church. When he sees me, he calls me Dada. Not his Dada. His Dada's here, but they were sleeping late, so that Papa and Omar can get into church. And they're very happy. They live in Richards Bay now. It's a nice home. They're madly in love. But I tell you what, when I get to spend time with that little guy, he clings to me like a magnet. Pain may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This woman suffered the anguish of a child promised die, but she didn't let go of what God said. And that's faith accessing grace in every area of your life. Amen. Let's stand up together. Whatever mountain is before you in your current situation, this is a time to put your mouth to work. Whatever obstacle is beset against the promises of God in your life, this is the time to declare God's word. So Father, I pray that you would cause our faith to rise to a new level in trusting you and believing for you. And if there's anyone here this morning in the sound of my voice that has never made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, and you don't know if you've been born again, you don't even know if the life of the gospel has really saved you yet, I want to ask you, please do not leave here this morning. But come and find me. I'll be hanging around the front here a little bit. Come and find me and say, that's me you were talking about. Would you please pray for me? That's all I want to do, is I want to please pray for you. Amen. And to everybody else, have a wonderful day and God bless.